and welcome to A Taste of Sex Reality Audio 2.1. I'm your host, Sean X, and once again this week we're joined by Shara, Amy, Sasha and Sean, and Greg. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good.
On our first episode last week, we introduced you to everybody around the table, and we talked about how we were confronting our desires. I just want to start out with a general question, which I'm going to pose to Amy. How did your last week go?
My last week was kind of variable all over the place. And I realized that I am an intensity junkie. Like,
how so?
When the sensation is not high enough, what I think is high enough, like I want it, like it should be different. I need it. Like I need that jolt. And I went on a date on Sunday night with someone new, and that jolt wasn't there. And I was, oh, this is not going to work. And I really had to step back and realize, like, it doesn't have to be like that for there to be connection.
What was the jolt that wasn't there? I mean, when you describe the jolt, what do you mean? For the people listening out there, just try to explain it in terms that are...
Like this high, like, just like... I don't know how to... Like, just toppling over each other with, like, jokes and interesting things to say and, like... That there's just like a ton of sensation moving back and forth between me and the other person, and
so you want your dates to be like a movie or a sitcom date?
No, I mostly want them to be like foreplay. Because that's usually how it goes. Like, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm used to, and
I'm going to stay on you for a bit. You spoke last week about the number of boyfriends where you go through and then you just get bored and you're looking for them to supply the input of the stuff into the relationship.
Yeah. So
how do you think that applies to when you're dating?
Well, what I found with this guy is that he really has already expressed, like, he thinks I'm fascinating and, like, oh my gosh, you, like, just... a lot of being very enamored with me, and I'm immediately like, ugh, get away. Like, you want me too much, you're too needy. And yet there's this other guy in my life who, like, typically what I do with those men is, like, regard them as not enough for me. And so then there is a guy in my life that does seem like enough, and, like, either way, it's like I push them away. With this other guy, I'm totally, like, chasing him, and with the guys who are really, like, quote unquote needy or really like me, I push them away. So, like, either way, it creates.
So you like switch. To be you like to be chased. You don't like to be chased. You like to chase.
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Maybe if they seem too desperate, I'm like. But I think it's more fundamental than that. I think there's just like.
So I'll open it up to everybody. Greg, Sean, Shara, Sasha, do you like to be chased or do you like to chase?
Oh, they're both good. I like to be chased, but in the long run, the men who I most desire are the ones that I have to chase after. Mm. They're just a little bit further for me to be tangible.
How is it different for you in the relationship, like when you're chasing someone and you catch them? How is that different than when someone is chasing you and you let them catch you?
For me, it's kind of like this relief. It's kind of like I don't have to work so hard, and but I still kind of play the game when they're chasing me, and it's a different kind of a game when I'm chasing them, and I have to kind of work at it more. Both of, you know, it's not exactly always fun to be the chaser, but there's a lot of sensation.
Greg,
I really don't like chasing, and if I'm being chased, I'll either stop and let them catch me very quickly or move on. I'm very impatient around these things, and so it happens. I mean, it's kind of just the reality of relationships, but it's not something that I really enjoy.
Do you currently have a girlfriend?
No.
That was a long pause there.
It was, because it's like this label, and we actually just had this conversation about it. Like, what is this? What is this? And is there a label on this? And all that kind of stuff. So that word always had a very distinct definition for me. And I start questioning now kind of labels and putting things in kind of different categories like that. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'll go down that thread. It's like, how have the categories changed? What does girlfriend mean to you now, and what did it mean to you a year ago?
A year ago, a girlfriend was someone who... the only woman in my life, and completely exclusive, and we did everything to each other, and we completely filled each other's needs, and we had the same interests, and we talked about everything, and it was supposed to be the person that I was supposed to eventually go down a path of hopefully trying to marry and have children with.
And now?
And now I'm just completely clueless. Now it's just someone that I have a deep emotional connection with, and who I just love being with, and seeing where it's going to go, and not having those kind of expectations around it.
I kind of like chasing somebody, but only if it turns into something. I feel really let down if I'm chasing somebody and it just doesn't go anywhere, and then there's all this expended effort that didn't do anything.
You chased me for a long time.
Yeah, but I pretty much knew that was going to go somewhere.
Oh! Okay, well then, Mr. Security over there.
But yeah, I'd really like forward women, and if someone's chasing me, it's like a real turn on.
So, Sasha, you just mentioned that he chased you for a while. Was he chasing you, or were you chasing him to chase you?
I mean, maybe we were like... Two dogs chasing our own tails in the same circle. No, I like to chase. I like to chase what I can't get. I like to chase what I know I can't catch. I like to chase what I'm never going to have. And Sean came along and started chasing me, and I got really, really afraid, and I really wanted to run away. Like not just make him chase me, run away, but like run away forever. And he kept at it. For a few months, we were sort of... I wasn't sure, and he was sure. the whole time, you were so sure. So the rest is history. Feels funny talking about it now. It wasn't that long ago.
How long have you guys been together?
9 months.
I wanted to go down a thread that both of you mentioned. I know we're all feeling, and people there listening will definitely relate with, is the people you chase when it doesn't work out. When you really think that there's something that could really develop between you two, and it just never happens. I wanted to ask people around the table, if you can think back to one of those moments, like what is the one situation where you still occasionally think about it, about that one person, and who were they? You don't have to name last names. Like, who is that person, and why do you think you were doing it?
Everyone's looking at me. You guys out there can't see it, but they're all looking at me. Why? I mean, what I say, I think I said this last time. This is my pattern, is that I went after someone I knew I couldn't have, so that when I was left with the like residual wake of pain that I explain it now as something that I enjoyed. Like, why would I put myself through that kind of experience if there wasn't some sort of like evil pleasure in it? And I knew that that person was eventually not going to live up to the expectations of what I wanted or what I needed them to be. And so I knew that after the fact, I would be in control of the pain I was feeling because I put myself in the situation in the first place. It's about control for me. All about control.
Shara, who's the last person you chased that you didn't get?
Well, I'm going to refrain from saying his name. Do you want to know anything specific about it?
Well, I want to know, like, how did you chase? What did you do that in your mind, is the reason why you didn't get them?
There is this, I think he had qualities that I really, like, compensated for areas that I really wanted to have more of. And so I found him so beautiful in so many ways. I was like, oh God, I want that. And every piece that I'm like looking for in my fantasy mind, he had. And my experience was I was trying to do whatever I could to have him like me, like be that person I thought he would like. And I knew from like a few times after we dated that it was not going to last, and that I wasn't completely myself. Like I felt my self-confidence a little lower than normal, and I didn't feel free. Like, I felt really free with certain people like you. And that was a big red flag for me.
Amy, I know you have one in there.
Well, I mean, I'm in a chasing situation now. And I'm not sure that I'm not getting it, but I resonated with what Shara said. Like, my self-confidence goes down around that person. Just my power, my trust in myself really diminishes. And I think I'm in it to actually burn those things off. Like, I'm chasing him because, you know, in some cosmic way, those are the things that I asked to let go of. And like, this relationship is helping me do that.
Greg?
It's interesting, like, I've gotten the same comment from two women recently, and they're two women that I thought that I was chasing.
How do you think you're chasing someone?
I mean, there was, like, a lot of flirting going on, and it was going on in both directions, and even things that were said were, you know, I mean, there was a lot of flirting going on, and it was very obvious, and then I got the comment that until recently, they didn't feel the sexual energy coming from me, that it was almost more like just kind of banter and kind of game playing going back and forth. So I thought that I was chasing, but energetically, I really wasn't. So that's how
you were flirting out. And they were talking to their brother.
I wouldn't put it quite like that, but yeah, probably, yeah. No, but the flirting was going back. I think it was just, there's a difference between kind of exchanging kind of playful energy and then and actually living on that kind of deeper level. And I just wasn't putting myself out there and expressing myself, and the sexual energy just wasn't there to actually give off that signal about to have that kind of interaction. Yeah.
I wanted to play off what everybody said because I was thinking about what is the difference between what we think we want and we actually want? Mm-hmm. You know,
I have a good example, but go ahead. Mr. Boss.
Well, go ahead.
Well, okay, so what's been on my mind this week is I went to this wedding Saturday night, and it was beautiful. It was a whole community of friends of, like, I don't know, 30, 40 people there, and I was, like, it was, like, so full of love. It was, like, the perfect yard, and everything was just like perfect, and the perfect priest and the perfect ceremony and everybody there. It was like the perfect weather, actually, and I'm like, oh God, I so want to be in partnership with someone. And and then this whole week I've been looking at what are all the ways that I actually avoid getting into deeper intimacy with someone, even though at a cognitive level I keep saying that's what I want.
I had a thing where there was this girl who I really wanted. And I got her. You know, I started dating her. And she was the girl, like, I don't know if other guys do this out there, but women, I had the list. You know, the list of the attributes with someone, you know. This is before I got involved in this work, you know. A little bit more shallow. But it's, you know, they were like this, they were like this, they had this type of job. I mean, she was extremely intelligent, great job.
Great ass.
Very sexy. This little Japanese girl. She was Japanese Canadian. I mean, she was super game playing. Everything. You know, everything. We were sitting there. You just kept that. There was nothing that it didn't check off. And so when I went out with her, I'm like, wow, this is the perfect woman. I should really be. But the spark wasn't there. And then I kept, and it was kind of there, but I just kept trying to force. There was something off. Hello, Christine. There was something off, and I didn't know what that something off was, and it had nothing to do with her. And that's when I finally realized, this is years later, and I'm finally realizing this now from the years before, that it had nothing to do with her. Because in my mind, when I would see someone, or I wouldn't get someone, or I'd date someone, and it would fail, it wasn't my fault. Couldn't possibly be my fault. You know, it had to be something they were lacking that had to fill me up. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things I want to talk about, what we think we desire and what we actually desire, to the point where when we're thinking about someone, when we're with someone, are we really there with them? Mm-hmm. Are we there being conscious with them? Or is it the idea of being with that person? A friend of mine said this great line to me, and I didn't realize how prescient it was till years later. I would rather have a woman look good in my bed than look good on my arm. And what he meant by that was, no one sees the former. You know, it's just you and another person just sitting there smiling, being intimate with each other. Yeah. And the other one is, hey, look at me. I'm with this person. It's a show. Mm-hmm. It's for other people. So it's not about the connection between the two of you. Mm-hmm. And I think for a long time previously, I was dating people that would look good on my arm, not that would look good to me the night before or out when there's just the two of us.
Wow.
So I just wanted to sort of put out there, where in your lives have you sort of had that disconnect in a relationship, but we're holding on to the story of who you wanted to date rather than what your desire actually was. Greg?
I always thought that I wanted to be with someone that was comfortable. And for me, that was someone that didn't push me too far, didn't challenge me too much, and things would kind of sail along really nicely.
Boring.
No, I was about to say, I'm like, and wow. My desire was to be with someone who just messed me up.
And that's where my desire is now. And that's probably why my relationships haven't lasted very long, because I would get bored very quickly. And now these kind of turbulent relationships where someone gets me and kind of pushes me, and we push each other, and we kind of discover with each other, and it's just much more vibrant. Again, that being pushed and being prodded was not my desire previously, because I wanted to be comfortable. And now I kind of see the beauty in people growing together and that coming out of the discomfort that happens within a relationship.
Now there's a lot of other people I think that can add to this, but we're going to take a brief break and then come back. This is Sean X for Taste of Sex Reality 2.1. We're taking a short break and then we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. One of the things I actually wanted to cover before the break was that we had gone around asking about people from our past that we were chasing, and I hadn't asked Sean. And Sean, do you have anybody?
Yeah, I had this girl that I used to know in school who was this absolutely stunning redhead and absolutely gorgeous, and all my friends knew her, and they're all close to her and everything. And I had a class of her, and I was always too shy to come up and talk to her. And after like a year of this, I finally, you know, got to the position where we were hanging out together and we like started a conversation, and there was like nothing there. There was nothing to talk about. It was the weirdest thing I've ever felt. And I mean, I still think she's an amazing girl. She went on to be a celestial mechanic major and, you know, extremely intelligent, extremely attractive. And I've just always wondered why that happened, why I couldn't have that connection with her.
You know, it's interesting. You have me thinking that sometimes I have a hard time talking to someone because I'm so attracted to them. Mm-hmm. And then I always have this belief, oh, that's just going to go away in time. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the people who I like, and then I talk to them. It's like, oh. So it's like differentiating the two.
But isn't that so, it's so disappointing for me when there's someone who they're like, oh my God, I am so attracted to this person. And you finally go up and you do talk to them. and you start to hear them speak, and you're listening for a little while, and at some point you almost say, wow, I really wish they were speaking a foreign language so I couldn't really hear them, because there's nothing there. And it's not that they're not intelligent, it's not that they're not, there's just no connection. It's not about them listening to you, it's about them waiting for their point to speak. Mm-hmm. It's like that person that you just give a little to, and then all of a sudden it's this tidal wave that comes at you, and you're like, ah. You're like, okay, maybe not. And then your friends are looking at you and you're going, what, you were just talking to her, what happened? And you're like, nah. And they keep on looking at her, they keep on looking back at you, they're looking at her, and they're like, dude, are you blind? You know, when you finally start to realize it's something deeper than that. So, Amy?
Yeah, what's the question? It is something.
Before the break, before I went to Sean, we were talking about the difference between the story around someone,
right,
and the story around your desire and your actual desire.
Yeah, so where I was caught when you turned to me was that thing, like, it is something deeper. And just, I've been reflecting on this since Sunday night, because so I met this guy online, and I feel ridiculous to even tell the story, but we had.
Now I really want to know.
I know. He is like you couldn't fabricate the stuff that he wrote. Like, it was really interesting. We had like this whole like email foreplay. It was like so fun, and I'm like, oh my god, this guy is really interesting. And like, I had built up that the sensation was going to be like off the charts on our first date, and then he showed up, and I was like, oh, it's you. And I, you know, I had seen his picture and whatever, and so I, you know, I knew that I, like, from the pictures, found him physically attractive. But I think that what you said about there being something deeper is that I was in such judgment that I didn't allow that deeper thing to flow, and that quite possibly I just didn't give it a chance. I don't know. It's so interesting how, like, the judgment of it.
Now, you brought up something that I definitely want to touch on, but I'll let Char go first.
This talk just reminds me of high school. And I think for me, that's where this got really deeply ingrained about, like, you know, the even if they're a year older, like, whether it's freshman, when I was a freshman, all these sophomores, that I had this list of guys I just idolized and were so hot, and it was so important just to be seen with certain people. And that for me was really strongly ingrained. And now that I've gone back and seen these very people and hung out with these people that I so idolized, it's like, well, they weren't that great. So it's like the past few, actually, since I moved into One Taste, that's one thing I've really gotten from my time here, is how to really be with people and have the experience with people, as opposed to
the fantasy of being with someone.
And yeah,
that's the thing I actually wanted to touch on, because you brought up something really interesting. You brought up, oh my god, the stuff he wrote on his profile, the email foreplay, dating in the digital world. I mean, people are listening to this as a podcast, but dating in the digital world, there's some people, it's like, I give great text, you know. It's like, you know, the ability in email to compose thoughts and to compose things, the ability in text for little witty repartees, it's not about connection.
Right.
You know, there's that delay, and there's something about physically being with someone that's actually being lost in society as a whole as far as connection goes. And what you said is, you know, the live versus Memorex. I'm going to date myself on that one. But the live versus Memorex of how you relate to someone digitally and how you relate to the reality of that person in person. So I wanted to ask around the table of, you know, how have, you know, all the texting, all the emails, all the lack, I mean, how many people actually, how often do you speak on the phone anymore? I mean, I remember picked up my iPhone yesterday when it rang, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a phone. But, you know, how has that changed your relationships and how you get to know people when you first meet them?
I'm a writer, so I think the written word is, like, wonderful, and I really highly value that, and I believe that the person writing the words is capable of that articulate, like, that lives as part of them. So it's a tricky question for me. I don't know. But Sasha and I just had a great half-hour phone conversation.
We had a great half-hour phone conversation today. I was going to out myself on how young I am. I don't think I've actually experienced dating without this digital thing. When I was 15, I was online instant messaging the boys, and that's how you flirted. I mean, and I don't have an experience of before that. I mean, I certainly still really value phone conversation.
I'm so old.
Okay, I know I'm young, I'm a baby, la la la. Anyway, Sean's younger than me.
Thanks.
this person that I was chasing, we had a huge flirtation. I mean, we knew each other in person first, but then instead of calling each other or instead of going to meet for coffee, we'd talk online. We lived half an hour away from each other, but like we really had an intense connection online. We actually had a great intense physical connection as well. But it's very interesting how much internet and instant messaging comes into play for me.
For me, I've always felt that I needed to use Instant Messenger as my communication tool for talking to women, because I've always been really shy with the girls I'm very attracted to. So I would, you know, the girls at school, I'd get their messenger handle and I'd go and talk to them online, and it would be like the same thing as talking to someone when I'm buzzed or drunk in person. It gives me that courage and that, you know, ability to conjure up all these thoughts that otherwise just get lost in my nervousness.
Do you want to respond to that?
I was just going to ask
a big sigh.
I was going to ask a question to both of them that was literally, and it's for the whole table. What are the boundaries? Because I'm just going to write a personal thing. I found that I would engage with someone via either text or IM. I was much more risque in the communications from an intimacy or sexual part or innuendos part than I would be in person, and I do that in person. But I mean,
that's a good point.
But it there was something about the almost impersonal, and even though it was personal, there was more permissibility.
Yeah.
In whatever, it's like email was less permissible.
Yeah.
Than texting, which was like IMing was like the
you
could almost say anything.
Yeah, definitely.
Totally agree. As far as boundaries with text messages, don't break up over text messages. That's my boundary. My text message boundary.
Has someone broken up over a text message?
No, but I've not really. No. You know, there's been a lot of times I've gotten text messages and I'm like, what does this mean? Does this mean he doesn't want to see me? But I actually love text messages and emails as a way to increase eroticism. Like, I just actually got this text message that said, I can't wait to feel your warm body next to me tonight in bed. And I'm like, wow, that definitely does something. It's like then the next few hours, I get to look forward to that.
There's something also about the delay, I think, in text messages.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you get it, you get to let it process and hit you and feel the sensation,
mm-hmm.
even when you misinterpret it. I think that's one of the things I want to say about text messaging, is that it is extremely dangerous, you know, like with IMs. You know, unless you are an emoticon master, you know, with these things of sending little smileys and winks of, oh, sarcasm, or you can really hit someone pretty hard with a text message. I mean, I've done things in text messages where the person looks at me later and I'm like, what? Because the way they interpreted the communications. I mean, one of the things they talk about is that only 95% of all communication is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you think about writing is the verbal form of communication. So you're not even getting the intonations in the speech.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just dealing with a very fraction of that connection.
You know, I'd always use it the opposite way. I'd push things farther than I think it would go, and then if they take it the wrong way, then I'd just go back and change it and say, oh, you're just misinterpreting it. So I'd use that to like push the envelope and see where I could go.
Okay.
You know, these are just all tools, and just how you use them can be for good or evil. And I kind of find, you know...
We're like, not making nuclear weapons.
Okay, maybe not good or evil. But even, like, in, you know, relationships I have, it's... You know, we used to play phone tag and things like that. And you have busy schedules. And, you know, so sometimes I'll be in a boring meeting and, you know, we'll do a little text messaging back and forth. And there's a communication that happens there that I wouldn't get to the point of going and leaving a voicemail message or something like that. And it can keep people connected in a way that, you know, other forms of communication wouldn't. And it's just how you use it.
Well, I am currently very happy that the people listening there are engaging in podcasts and digital communication so that they can listen to us. And please don't stop. That'll be a wrap for episode 2 of A Taste of Sex Reality Audio 2.1. This is Sean X and our cast here signing off. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.